A reading from the 19th chapter of the Gospel according to St. Luke, beginning at the 29th verse. And it came to pass when he drew near to Bethphage and Bethany, at the mountain called Olivet, that he sent two of his disciples, saying, Go into the village opposite you, where as you enter you will find a colt tied, on which no one has ever sat. Loose it, and bring it here. And if anyone asks you, Why are you loosing it? Thus you shall say to him, Because the Lord has need of it. So those who were sent went their way and found it just as he had said to them. But as they were loosing the colt, the owners of it said to them, Why are you loosing the colt? And they said, The Lord has need of it. Then they brought him to Jesus, and they threw their own clothes on the colt, and they set Jesus on him. Here ends the reading. As they were untying the colt, its owners said to them, Why are you untying the colt? And they said, The Lord has need of it. Have you ever thought about what it means for God Almighty to need something from us? We, with a misplaced sense of self-sufficiency, do often refuse to acknowledge our needs. When you require help from someone, do you always admit it? Or in your pride, do you tell people that you are okay even when you are not? Do you assure people that you don't need any help even when you do? On other occasions, we may speak of something as a need, even when it is not really a need, but simply a desire, often a sinful desire. Fornicators often excuse their indulgence in sexual sin by speaking of their needs. How often have you justified a craving for something that was morally questionable, or defended your acquisition of an unnecessary luxury by telling yourself or others that you needed it? But here we have a situation where God actually does need something, and he is willing to say so. Specifically, he needs a donkey so that Jesus can ride on it. We might think that God does not need anything from human beings. Isn't God self-sufficient? Isn't that a part of what it means for him to be God? Well, in regard to God's own existence as God, he does not need anything from you or me. But God does not simply exist. God also acts in this world and among men. In order to save humanity from its sins, God became a human being. He personally entered into his creation and became a part of it. The second person of the Holy Trinity, the eternal Word, became flesh and lived among us. And in order to save humanity from within humanity, there are a lot of things that God needed to appropriate from humanity and from the created world in which humanity lives, so that those things could be used by him for the fulfillment of his good and gracious will toward us. For the accomplishing of humanity's salvation from sin and death, the first thing God needed from humanity was a genuine human nature, so that Jesus, the Son of God, would be true God and true man. God could not create for Jesus a new human nature from scratch, which would be genetically disconnected from Adam and his descendants. That would not be a human nature at all, but only a copy of human nature. And it would leave Adam and his actual descendants without a Savior. And so God needed to enter into the womb of a virgin and miraculously take to himself a human nature from that virgin in order to become a part of the human race to which she and we belong. The Epistle to the Hebrews explains why God needed this, so that Jesus would come into the world in the way he did, and also why we, as the fallen children of man, also needed this. Since the children share in flesh and blood, Jesus himself likewise partook of the same things, that through death he might destroy the one who has the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver all those who through fear of death were subject to lifelong slavery. He had to be made like his brothers in every respect, so that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in the service of God, to make propitiation for the sins of the people. In today's text from St. Luke, we are told that on a certain unique occasion, God also needed a donkey colt. God would not say that he needed something if he did not really need it. The Lord did not simply want a donkey so that he could have improvised with a horse or with some other creature if he had to. No. The Almighty Creator and Lord of the universe, in the humble form of a man, and according to his eternal plan for our salvation, needed a donkey. Centuries before the events that are described in today's text, Zechariah had prophesied, "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout aloud, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. Righteous and having salvation is he, humble and mounted on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey." God needed a donkey so that this prophecy would be fulfilled. Only a donkey would do. The donkey was emblematic of Jesus' humility. He was not entering Jerusalem as a fearsome worldly conqueror on a noble steed. He was entering the city as one who had come into the world not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. The donkey, as a beast of burden and as a working animal, was also emblematic of the fact that Jesus was entering into the Lord's holy city to do the hard work of redeeming humanity and to bear the heavy burden of all human sin, as he would carry that sin to the cross in our place. As the donkey labored to carry Jesus down the road and through the gate, so too would Jesus labor to carry to Calvary your sinful pride and your sinful self-justifications, and to suffer and die there for the forgiveness of those sins and for the forgiveness of all human sin. Luke reports that Jesus sent two of the disciples, saying, "Go into the village in front of you, where on entering you will find a colt tied, on which no one has ever sat. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, 'Why are you untying it?' you shall say this, 'The Lord has need of it.'" Can you imagine a situation where you look outside your window and see two guys opening the door of your car, getting into it, and preparing to drive it away? You then go outside and ask them what they are doing with your car, and they respond, "The Lord has need of it." What would you think? Well, Jesus is not going to send two disciples to your driveway to borrow your car in exactly this way today. Since the time of his ascension, that's not the way he operates. But there are other things that God does need from you today for the fulfillment of what he is doing today. God became a part of the human race in the person of Christ, and in his earthly human body, he suffered for our sins and atoned for them. The incarnation was a once and for all time miracle. It will not happen again. But God does still use things that he needs to get from us and from the world in which we live in delivering to people the salvation that Jesus won at the cross. In holy baptism, Jesus' regenerating and forgiving gospel is applied personally and in a very tangible way to a very real human being who has been conceived in sin, but who also has been redeemed by Christ. According to the Lord's institution, God needs water in order to do this, the same kind of earthly water in which Jesus himself had been baptized. According to the Lord's institution, God also needs the human hands and human voice of an administrant in order to do this. In the sacrament of Holy Communion, we are given our Savior's body and blood for the forgiveness of sins and for the strengthening of faith. According to the Lord's institution, God needs bread and wine for this to happen. No other earthly elements will do. He needs, here and now, the same elements that Jesus used when he first administered this sacrament to his disciples on the night in which he was betrayed. God brings the message of human salvation to human beings through the ministry of human ministers. As this mission is continually carried out in the Lord's name in each generation, the Lord needs called servants to do this. Regarding himself and those who assisted him in his apostolic ministry, St. Paul tells the Corinthians, "We are God's fellow workers." And for the maintenance of these ministers, the Lord needs the material support that comes from the rest of God's people, so that pastors, teachers, and missionaries can in fact be set apart on a full-time basis to do what God has called them to do. Paul tells the Philippians of his gratitude to God for their partnership in the gospel. God in Christ needs all these natural things from you so that he can give to you, to your friends and relatives, and to all men, the supernatural things that you need from him. What you need from him: a new heart, a new life, and a new hope for eternity, you would not be able to receive if God had not taken your humanity to himself in the conception and birth of Jesus. What you need from him, you would not have if Jesus had not borrowed that donkey, and if he had not ridden that donkey to his death and to your salvation from death. But God did take and use what he needed so that he can now bestow upon you and fill you with what you need. As a man among men, Jesus forgives and heals you. As your brother according to the flesh, Jesus is your true friend, your constant companion, and your ever-vigilant protector in all the trials that you face. He uses what he needs to use, ministers and laymen, water, bread, and wine, so that the comforting promises of his gospel can be brought to you, and so that the power of his love can remain with you and work through you. As the humble servant of God and man, Jesus calls and equips you to be his servant and the servant of your neighbor. He uses you and the things that you own and share as his instruments in meeting your neighbor's needs for this world and for the world to come, even as he meets your needs through your neighbors and through the things that they own and share. And as they were untying the colt, its owners said to them, "Why are you untying the colt?" And they said, "The Lord has need of it." Amen. Please rise. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, we bless and praise you forever, that you sent your Son to rule over us poor sinners, who for our transgressions justly deserved to remain in the bondage of sin and Satan, and that in him you gave us a meek and righteous King, who by his death became our Savior from sin and eternal death. We beseech you so to enlighten, govern, and direct by your Holy Spirit, that we may ever remain faithful to this righteous King and Savior, and not, after the manner of the world, be offended by his humble form and despised word, but, firmly believing in him, obtain eternal salvation. Through the same, your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one true God, now and forever. Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.